Take your business to the next level in just 10 minutes a day.
Just 10 minutes a day. That's less time than it takes to enjoy a cup of coffee.
You're tuned in to the 10-Minute Marketer.
10-Minute Marketer.
Brought to you by the Gab Radio Network. And now, David Pollack and Lisa Davis.
We all have a passion for something, and the question is how that even affects our lives. But today's guest has a passion for architecture, and her name is Karen Otis. And this is what really amazed me, why I'm excited to have her on, because she took this passion for architecture and made an amazing discovery. She created methods for designing and building the perfect life. And these, so what she does for building homes is what she applies in life. And I just, okay, I got to admit, I don't know if I see the full connection, but you're going to help us out in the next 10 minutes, Karen. Thank you for joining us.
Nice to be here. Thank you, David.
Okay, so I want to get into how you do it for a minute, but you talk about how you help change and rebuild somebody's life using these techniques and your passion, something you've done your whole life. When you talk about rebuilding, when do we know it's time to rebuild our life? Is it just we are getting bored, or just some of the life, because I know you've been through some life changes.
Yeah, great question. Well, first of all, there is a huge epidemic in this country. Only one in three Americans even think that they are, quote, happy. And in terms of the workforce, 52% feel unhappy at work. So that's huge numbers of people just not enjoying their life. And I think you know it's time to make a change or to rebuild when one of two things happens. Either there's a social or some outside trigger. Let's say a divorce, you get laid off, something like that might cause it, where all of a sudden you're kind of spiraling downward and you sense a feeling of disappointment, depression, you know, disenchantment. And the other one is when you finally just get to a point where you go, is this it? Like, what happened? I thought this was going to be where I'm going to finally be happy. I did everything I wanted to, and I'm still not feeling it.
That's to me like my midlife crisis. I'm 50. Well, I was going to say 53. I'm rushing it. I'm 52. But I've hit a point the past few years. Okay. So, and I'm rushing it ahead there. Jeez, I should go the other way. I still feel like I'm 22. But I thought at this point in my life where my life would be. And I'm wondering, is this what I was trying to achieve? So, you know, I did make some changes in my life in the past couple of years. And I made sure I am following my passion. But, you know, so I guess it's not uncommon. I guess a lot of us stick with the job that they're unhappy with or do whatever they're doing because they've got to support their family. I know you're an empty nester, but you've got to raise your kids and you've got to get them through school and get them out on their own before you can make these changes and start doing what's good for you.
Right, absolutely. And I think for a lot of people, there are people I work with in this life building workshop that, you know, they kind of stumbled upon their job maybe just by chance. Maybe they studied something in school. I've got one client, for example. He was a contractor salesman, basically selling equipment to contractors. But he lost his job and thought, oh, I need to replace it, and fast. And then realized through some of our work that he hated his job. And maybe that was a blessing in disguise. And so rather than just jumping in and replacing it, he did the first part of my method, the first step, which is site study, which is you look at your life and decide what is fixed, what is stable here that I want to keep because I love it, it matters, and I want to build my life around that, and what isn't working or serving me anymore that I think is fixed and permanent but might actually be something that is changeable. And I think we get stuck thinking that everything we have right now is exactly as it should be and we've got to maintain it. And sometimes we need to demolish something or move it so that we can make room for the change.
And you've got a good point. I know in my life, one of the changes, you know, I'm married to an incredible lady who's out of my league. I'm very fortunate, but she's from the Philippines. And, you know, in looking at our lives, we've made a decision. We want to spend part of the year over in the Philippines. And all of a sudden, my life took a change because how do I build my career that allows me to do it? And how do you achieve all this, you know, financially and come to find out it's not that expensive to live there? And so all of a sudden, I can get out of that rat race and kind of slow down and focus on what's fun for me and enjoy my life versus what I think I was told by my parents to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We create a wish list for our lives that maybe isn't even our own, and that happens so much. I think that for me, that when it all came to a head was during my divorce in 1999. Everything just collapsed on me. And I mean, I literally remember learning about my husband at the time, his affair, and literally dropping to my knees in the kitchen. Just, you know, I didn't know how I was going to pursue anything and raise my two little kids and all of that.
Of
and I started kind of trying everything I knew. You know, I did, for example, I went to see therapists. I read every self-help book, you know, on and on. And nothing was working for me. And I finally realized I felt like this pinball in like a pinball machine. You know what I mean? You're just thrown one way and then you react and another and you're reacting to everything. And what I realized is, but in my architecture life as an architect, which I still am also, I don't react to everything. I create. And if you look at those words, reacting is actually the same letters as creating, just flipping them all around. So it's a matter of you need to be the one to get in front of it. You need to create it, not just react to what is thrown your way. That's how you build your great, perfect life, your life inspired, as I like to call it.
I like that. And I think a lot of our listeners, we're entrepreneurs. You know, we want to create our own path, our own destiny. And I think whatever brought us all to it, whether we've been entrepreneurs all our lives or making career changes now because of some event in our life. So I think what you're doing is very inspiring to us. What are some of the other techniques that you've learned as an architect that you bring over into this life-changing?
Well, the other one, for example, is I go through actually the 8 steps that I use to design any home or any building. And though at first when I started this, I didn't really realize how clear and distinct they were, as I soon started to follow them thinking, well, maybe this will work because the other self-help stuff didn't work for me. And I start with the first step. So the first one, like I mentioned, is site study, where I evaluate the site, see what's amazing, maybe an ocean view, maybe, you know, a spectacular mountain range to look at, and I emphasize, and then I take out things that don't need to be there. Second one is history. You know, whenever I start a building, I look at what's the history of that type or that archetype. Well, same thing in our lives. You know, you go through your life thinking that you can just, you know, push forward, but everything in your past does have some influence. It does affect you. And sometimes it's actually what's getting in your way. So it's a matter of looking at the history that we all come from. Architecture comes from a whole line of wonderful history, you know, from Egyptian architecture, classical architecture, Greek, et cetera, Roman. And all of that has an influence. So we need to look back at our other history personally and see what patterns we're doing, see what we are repeating that is getting in our way.
And so what's another one?
So another one is going to be to envision your vision. So typically we want to start out just quickly detailing what things we want to have done. But instead of doing that, what I push in this architectural method is keep your logical, practical, analytical left side of the brain at bay for a while. Really just get into what is your intuition, what is your soul saying? Because when your soul is involved in these decisions, that's where something magical happens, right? So when I'm doing architecture, when I'm designing something, I try for the longest time not even to put pencil to paper, but to really let myself imagine it in full detail. And that allows the creative right brain to take over. And then it's not until the very last step, the construction document step, where we get into the details, right? Let's make that vision a reality. Now we get to the nitty-gritty and what are you going to do? What are your steps? But it's a matter of being creative and intuitive first and then getting to the logical, practical steps. And I think we tend to do the opposite.
I think that's awesome. And so I love how you've taken, you know, what you've done, your passion for architecture, and brought it over in how we can design and build the perfect life for ourselves. And you know, we can't let fear get in the way. We got to kind of envision it. And I love the steps. So I know you've put out a new book, and I know you've got a website. So I invite our listeners to visit Otis, O-T-I-S, otisarchitecture.com. I'll put the link up on our site as well. So visit the 10minutemarketer.com. You can listen to this podcast again and then follow the link over. Karen, I want to thank you for joining us. Karen Otis was our guest today. I'm David Pollack, the 10-Minute Marketer. You have an awesome day.